talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. This is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. There we go. I wasn't even hearing myself talking. 19 degrees, 7 is a wind chill. The winds are out of the north at 10 miles an hour, gusting up to 15. And we got some white substance on the ground out there. And so it snowed, and we can expect some more flurries coming later on this afternoon. And I'll have your Long Ranger forecast later in the show. But first, before I get to the grain reports, I'm going to admit to you guys that I got my butt kicked last night, and it was by a bovine cow. Coming home from Willow to feed from feeding, and I seen my eagle eyes spotted a bad thing going on out in the pasture. My neighbor Joey and Kelly's, and I pulled up to the gate, and I was talking to the gentleman on the phone, and I was going to finish that conversation, then I was going to call Joey, and then Gary shows up next to me, and I guess he was wondering if something was wrong, and I just pointed out there, and the cow had one leg hanging out is all we could see from the road, and it was a back one, so it wasn't a good deal, and it looked like it was a big one. So we called Joey, got everything lined up. I went to throw the loop around her neck, standing on the ground. She'd been acting pretty good up until that moment. And then that moment she seen that rope in my hand, here she come. So I turned around to run. Well, I know I'm almost 60 and I don't run like I'm 20 anymore, but that ground's not turf out there. It's not smooth. So I stumbled and fell, and I was getting up. She flipped me end over end, full round, full flip. It'd been a 10 at the Olympics. And then I was going to rock and roll sideways to get out of her path. Then she stepped on my back calf, and I couldn't roll. And she had all of her weight on, and all I could do is look up and see her head ready to pound me in the ground. Joey grabbed her by the nose. That didn't help. She was mad at me. So anyway, I finally got out from under her. We got the calf pulled. Calf was not alive, but the cow was partially paralyzed too, and she still caught me. But that just goes to show you, no matter what's going on in the cattle world, whether you're 40 or 60 or even 74, them cows are going to catch you. I don't care what the end results is. You're going down. But anyway, got that out of the way, and we got the I was hurting, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't hurting enough to I darn sure ain't going to cry in front of the Ripitos. But anyway, when we got it done, they wasn't me standing around shooting the bull with them. I was ready to go home and put ice pack on it. My beautiful wife, Sandy, she doctored me with essential oils and got the that going, and had the golf board meeting last night. And I was ready to be done. My leg, my right calf is twice as big as my left one, but I'm going to survive. And so anyway, that's my cattle story from yesterday. So hopefully I don't have any heifers calving today, but I'm going to go check them right after the show. Also, if you guys got a minute, get on Facebook, get on Davis Angus, and get on there and help Jordan and Jim decide which bull they're going to use for the cover of their bull sale. There's a disturbance in the force, I can tell, between Jordan and Jim on this deal. So you guys get on their Facebook page, Davis Angus, and get on there and vote on which bull you think should be their cover on their sale bill. So anyway, help me out there. Well, grains are up, way up. Hard red winter wheat's already at 764s an hour ago. Corn 612. Milo 610, soybeans 1360, and cotton was up to $1.24, and I just checked it a minute ago, and it's back down to 123. But I think I kind of figured out, and I'm gonna call the Cotton Council tomorrow. I think I figured out what's going on there. The They ended up being 660,000 bales short of their initial report. So that's a lot of cotton. So that gave it a boost for cotton go up. Soybean futures were higher in overnight trading on concerns about South American weather, while grains declined. Rains fell this week in parts of Argentina, and agriculture meteorologist with Maxar said in note to clients that there was rain all over some of the states in Argentina. Rain is in forecast for most of the country growing regions throughout the weekend. Widespread rains through the next week significantly improve moisture and crop conditions. In Brazil, meanwhile, rain this week was near expectations and favored the states. Some of the states, precipitation is expected to continue through Sunday in several growing areas. Why? This will help big time with soil moisture. We need some of that around here. Wheat futures decline as snowfall is expected in the U.S. Southern Plains, given hard red winter wheat varieties that are attempting to overwinter a protective blanket. Up to an inch of snow is in forecast in parts of Oklahoma and Texas panhandles throughout the morning, and we got ours here in the last hour. Light snow will continue to develop across the panhandles through this morning. Soybean futures for March delivery rose 4.75 cents to $13.96 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal gained 30 cents at $3.98.60 a ton, and soybean oil futures added 0.19 cents to 60.95 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery fell 2 cents to 608.5 a bushel. Wheat for March delivery lost 5 cents to $7.91.5 a bushel, while Kansas City futures dropped 2.25 to $7.97.75 a bushel. Beef production in 2021, cattle slaughter accelerates. Beef production in the U.S. in 2021 is forecast at 27.95 billion pounds amid increased non-fed cattle slaughter and heavier carcass weights. That's up from the previous outlook for 27.4 billion pounds. So get up there another half a billion. So we got it going our way. This increase is driven by a more rapid pace of cow and bull slaughter, as well as heavier cattle dress weights, the government said in its report. Beef cattle slaughter in December was up more than expected, likely reflecting the drought in the western region of the United States. The number of cattle slaughtered in December rose 1.5% year-over-year, cattle slaughter increased 5.8%, and bull processing rose 5.3%. Average dress rates, weights, same thing, rose almost 10 pounds, or about 1% year-over-year in the week that ended in December 25th. Dress weights were also up 13 pounds over the three-year average. Agency said December dress weights are expected to be up 3 pounds from November, but flat from the same month in 2020. Fed and feeder steer prices likely will rise in 2022. The average price in December for all grades of steers sold was $139.36 per hundredweight, a whopping 28% increase from December of 2020. The average price in the full week of January was up 24% year over year. The government now expects 2022 first quarter fed steers at $139 per hundredweight and four quarter prices at $138 per hundredweight, both up about a dollar from prior outlooks. One more thing, second quarter feed prices are now seen at $136 per hundredweight, while third quarter prices are seen at $134 per hundredweight, an increase from about $2 from the previous outlook. For the full year, the USDA now sees fed steer prices averaging $136.75 per hundredweight. All right. Well, I'm going to take a short break here. When I get back, I have a special guest in the studio with me. A lot of you guys in our area know him, Mr. Bray Haven, originally from Cheyenne. He works with the OYE and the Cattlemen's Congress in Oklahoma City. We're going to talk about what's happened the last couple of weeks up in Oklahoma City and see if he brought any better news for next year, because they're already working on 2023 Cattlemen's Congress. So that's good. It's awesome. It's here to stay. Tech Tech, Denver. And so, but anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It's warmed up. We're up to a whopping 20 degrees now. Wind chill's around 9. And there's some cold. It's cold out there. There's no doubt about that. Well, on the show with me today is Mr. Bray Haven, originally from Cheyenne, and of course he knew everybody in the studio when he walked in, so he's just one of the guys. But welcome to the show, Bray.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you've been busy.
Busy. Yeah, since Christmas, really.
Yeah, or before.
Before Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, we started on the fairgrounds on the 14th of December. And they're still tearing stuff down today. So.
And how long will it take them to? Well, you're just tearing it down just to get ready for OYE.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and the setup's a little bit different, so we got to get some of the barns ready, turned over for sheep and goats and for hogs.
Right.
From having cattle in there, but yeah, it'll just take them a couple weeks to kind of get everything cleaned up and then start set up for OYE. They've got a few events in between, but they can. It does take some time when you're talking about those big horse stalls, and they take them all out for our show,
right?
And then got to set back up for another horse event in between, and then get ready for OYE. So.
Yeah, because Oklahoma City has a lot of good, especially quarter horse events. Or probably all only quarter horse, if I was guessing right.
Yeah, and really we're fortunate to have those other events because they're the reason we have the facility that we have, and we're able to fill this void in 2021 and host the Cattlemen's Congress. The inaugural Cattlemen's Congress.
Right.
And so we're grateful for them and what they've meant to Oklahoma City and the economic impact they've had, but also, you know, really all of Oklahoma. You know, what Oklahoma City's done with the MAPS program and they've been able to do to turn over the facility. And, you know, Oklahoma City's changed so much just even since I was a kid.
Right.
And I think that really helps when you're talking about recruiting big events like we have, like Cattlemen's Congress.
Right.
The economic diversity that we have, really the growth Oklahoma City scene, all that goes into a successful event down there. And so we're just really fortunate that we were able to host the inaugural last year and able to work with the fairgrounds, the city and the state on making some improvements to the grounds that are better fit for livestock. Yeah.
Yeah. They spent, one rumor I heard they spent $18-19 million on improving the electrical. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but didn't matter the amount, they improved it.
Yeah. Yeah. They got a good start on it last year, and this year we'll have a full year to hopefully finish out some of the electricity needs that we need. You know, when you're talking about one horse per stall versus 2-3 cattle per stall, and when you've got cattle in there, you're talking hair. So you're talking washing those things all the time, blowing them out, and those blowers pull a lot of power. So really the needs, the facilities work great.
Right.
But the electrical and wash rack needs are really – really what we've had to do some adjustments for. And so I think long term we'll get there. It's just going to take a little bit of time. But I think what people like about Oklahoma mainly is the people here.
Yeah.
And the southern hospitality that we have, the ease of getting around the fairgrounds, traffic's not too bad getting to and from hotel to the grounds.
It's not too far either to those facilities.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not 25 miles to your motel.
No doubt.
And so it's just, oh, I can run over there. You know, they can run over there real quick and go right back to whatever they were doing, you know?
Yeah, you bet. And that's why I think, you know, even though for 2022, this year's show, entries were about the same, but we didn't have any competition last year. Fort Worth canceled, National Western in Denver canceled. But this year, both of those shows are happening. We still had the same amount of entries.
Yeah.
We actually showed about 600-700 more head of cattle this year through the ring than we did last year. So, because some entries didn't show up last year that entered, or you know, and things like that.
Yep.
But so we actually, through the show rings, had 600-700 more head of cattle this year in 22 than we did last year in 21 with no competition. And so I think that really shows what we're doing here is good. People are going to support it long term. We've still got some improvements to be made. Shoot, it's year two.
Yeah.
But I think long term Cattlemen's Congress is here to stay.
Oh, good. And that's awesome, because I'm been behind it since last year, you know, and the governor, he loves it.
Oh, yeah.
How many times was he down there?
Yeah, he came out twice. He's a big, big supporter of the show. You know, he tells the story that his favorite day as governor was he kind of got in a little bit of a fight with the governor of Colorado a little bit over this show, and they declared a meet out Monday. The governor of Colorado declared meet out Monday one day, and the governor of Oklahoma was like, that's not – I've got one better. So we did meet all week here in Oklahoma, eat meat all week. And then during that, after that week, PETA put up a billboard in downtown Oklahoma City that said home of Governor Meathead Kevin Stitt. And he's like, we got to do something to retaliate. And so Tyler Norvell, that I work with, and the governor came up with the idea of grilling burgers and steaks underneath that billboard, and we go out there, and it was a huge hit.
Oh yeah,
I mean he'd been on the Sports Animal with Jim Traber before that, told everybody to come out. I mean, it was the wildest thing. I mean, just sitting out there grilling burgers and steaks under that billboard, but the people of Oklahoma love that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, it's like, here, back at you, buddy. And,
yeah,
and then Pete, of course, because that even made CNN.
Yeah,
that's where I seen it the first time, and I don't even know why I was watching CNN, but anyway, made CNN. Well, there's you know, Fort Worth going on right now, if I remember right. Yeah,
yep.
Fort Worth going on right now. Denver's going on right now.
Yep.
They were showing hogs yesterday. I know that for a fact, because we got some people up there.
Yep.
But I think it's a good deal all the way around.
Oh, it is great, and it gives these you know, when you talk about what sets us apart, we're right in the middle of cattle country. The surrounding states around us, all, you know, almost a quarter, maybe even more, of the cattle in the country are grown in this region. And so you talk about not just people supporting maybe the seed stock and show side of the industry, but commercial producers as well. And what these guys are telling us is, well, you know, maybe I didn't have the bull that I've sold to them here, but they come up, look at my genetics, and then I might sell a commercial cattleman a bull at my production sale or something like that. And I think that's what sets us apart.
Right.
And you know, I talked a little bit about the people, and we talked a little bit about politics, and not to get too far into that, but I think the leadership of our state through the pandemic and trying to open up our economy as fast as possible and allowed us to have that show in 21.
Right.
Is, you know, without that, we don't have the $40 million impact that we did in Oklahoma City, and all of that revenue that the state and the city are recuperating from lost revenues during the COVID year.
Yep.
And so it's really cool. It's been the perfect storm.
Right.
I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, so. I kind of got lost there for a second when I was thinking, but you was talking about the economic impact that it had on Oklahoma City. Well, it had an economic impact all over the state.
Yeah.
Because days before you guys opened the gates up there, you opened them up on what, December 29th or 30th?
Yeah, December 30th. Yeah.
30th. Out here on December 29th. There was people in our hotels out here with their cattle either up at Leedy or at K Kephart's or Canute or maybe out here at Hudson's. They were leaving their cattle everywhere until you guys were ready for them, and they stayed in our motels. So I'm sure that went on everywhere.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, and that's what's the other thing that's nice. You've got the I-40 corridor, the I-35
corridor.
It's easy to get to the fairgrounds. It's easy for people from all over the country to get here, whether you're coming from the East Coast or the West Coast. And we pulled a lot of people that didn't exhibit cattle. You know, we talk a little bit about the comparison between us and National Western, and I'd like to stay away from that a little bit. But the thing is, there's a lot of people in the southeast part of the state that don't go to those big shows,
right?
And so that it was easy to come to Oklahoma and show. And so we're really trying to grow our American shows, American cattle shows, the Brahmins, Brangus. Brayford's,
right.
Santa Gertrudis, and hopefully over time we'll see some growth there. But, you know, like we talked last time, we had people from Florida to Washington, from Maine, literally to Southern California.
Right.
Literally the entire United States and Canada. Here. And one thing that we really grew this year was our international buyers program, and I'll get into that a little bit when we get into our sales, talking about sales. But that brought people not only not only physical bodies on the grounds buying cattle for people all over the world, but literally online buyers from you name the country, and I bet somebody was online, at least bidding on some.
Well, if you're just joining me, I have Bray Haven here from the cattle. I always wanted to say the Oklahoma Cattlemen, but the Cattlemen's Congress here in Oklahoma. He's on here with me, and you and Tyler. You're the bosses, and you guys did an awesome job. Myself, I didn't get to go up there because of heifers, and so I had to watch them and babysit them. But I talked to numerous people that went up there, and you guys did a wonderful job. Some of the most beautiful cattle in the world was at that show the first 2 weeks of January. And when we get back from this break, we'll kind of touch on them cattle sales because I heard some numbers.
Yeah, you bet. They were great.
They were great. Well, you've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. I have Bray Haven from the Cattlemen's Congress here with me, and we got another segment to go. And you guys, when you get back, listen to some of these numbers. I'm going to punch him on. So I'm not going to punch him hard. He's way bigger than me, and I'm injured. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm hurting, but anyway, we'll be right back.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, January 17th. 1,909 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 518 brought 199. 40 at 729 brought 160.25. 16 at 773 brought 158.25. 60 at 830 brought 156.75. 63 at 871 brought 155.25. 14 head of heifers at 396 brought 185. 10 at 612 brought 152. 6 at 687 brought 147. 19 at 704 brought 152. 34 at 843 brought 145.50. Butcher cows were 30 to 75, butcher bulls 57 to 95, bred cows 675 to 1,000, pairs brought 1,400. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. You can sign call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. 22 degrees, wind chills at 11, winds out of the north 11 miles an hour. Gusting Up to 17. In the studio with me for this next segment is Bray Haven from the Cattlemen's Congress in Oklahoma City. They just got done there, and he was telling us about in the earlier segment of what happened and the facilities, the economic impact, and et cetera, et cetera. But along with the shows, you guys had sales, and a lot of them.
Yeah, we had 13 sales on site. And then 9 off-site, whether that was an association or a separate sale manager that had some off-site, from the Cowboy Hall of Fame to different hotel conference rooms and stuff like that. Those were where most of the off-site sales were held, even one down in the stockyards. So people really utilized Oklahoma City well. But then we had, like I said, 13 there on-site. Right. That was a real focus for us transitioning from last year to this year, was really escalating that sale experience and making that really nice. And we worked with W&W Livestock, one of our big sponsors, and they built us a sale ring that was just the way we wanted it and perfect, and it worked out great. We packed that sale ring up, and those auctioneers and ring guys, they like it when it's packed up, you know. And it turned out real good for a lot of cattle producers across the country.
How many sales did you guys have last year?
We had close to 20. You know, we lost a few sales that rotate around. Some of them were going to Fort Worth, and some of them happened at Louisville and stuff like that.
Right.
Some of the breed associations rotate their sales around. Some of them were like, you know, even if we're not having our national sale or show in OKC, we're still having our sale though, because the sale's so good.
Right.
So I think that was what was cool. But actually, we actually had a couple less sales this year in Oklahoma City, but grossed more dollars. So that means averages were up. That means the market is good for what these guys are selling. I mean, I said a couple less sales, and the sales in OKC still gross $10.2 million on 22 sales. And so that's really, really good. And I think the sellers were really pleased. Buyers were pleased, too. And I don't say that to scare anybody away from coming up and buying a bull, because there's something for everybody at Cattlemen's Congress.
Right.
Whether you're just trying to improve genetics of your herd, you know, or you're in the seed stock business.
Right.
Either one, you know, they've got some with the best EPDs. It really is quality all the way through. You know, I know some guys that came up there and bought some bulls for their commercial herds and didn't feel like they overspent, but the guys selling were just pleased that there were commercial cattlemen there buying them.
Right.
You know, because it is a different market.
Right.
But anybody that's just trying to improve your genetics, the quickest way to do it is get a high quality bull.
Well, and you had bulls from all over the United States, not just Oklahoma.
Yep.
Like our bull sales around here, like the one coming up at Cheyenne and
yep.
the Hudson bull sale coming up and stuff, you know, those are locally grown bulls. But if you wanted to get in and dabble into a little bit more of a different bull clientele there, you know, that sale up there, you could have bought one from North Dakota real easily.
Oh, real easy. And walked out that night with him, you know.
Yeah.
We've got it set up where, you know, you can transfer health papers and ownership right there on the spot. The associations and our vets that are on site, you know, make that kind of a flawless transition.
Great.
So it's real easy to buy one and walk out, you know, load him up in the trailer.
Load me up and go.
And head out.
Well, you talk about loading up. That was one of the deals that I heard a big compliment on you guys. Is, you know, you had, let's just say that I'm just going to, I know it didn't go in this order, but the Simmentals were showing and doing all their stuff, and their show arenas there, and had the barns hooked up with all their cattle. I mean, the minute that show was over, the minute they were out of there, the next breed was showing up and unload, and they said it was just, nothing ever goes perfect. You can't tell me that does, but the compliment I had was, man, we got unloaded. We was in our stalls, and we were ready to go in a short period of time. So hats off to you guys for the way you guys was running that.
Yeah, I think that's another thing that sets us apart. You know, we've got a group of I'll give credit where it's due, our group of interns that are from across the country that come up there for, you know, very little pay, basically covers their expenses, and
right.
they just want to come up for the experience, and they help us do all that. So phenomenal group of young people that came up and helped us out to do those transitions. Like you said, it's full throttle for 14, 17 days. So you're talking as soon as one breed's done, you're moving the next one in on top of them. You got to clean the stalls up a little bit and, you know, get the trailer lines ready and get them stacked in there, and you got to get all their tack unloaded and bring your cattle in. And it's a tight, kind of tight quarters there around the barns, unloading areas, but it's been a pretty efficient process that we have, that we work through that. And it works great for OYE, too, when you're bringing in several thousand hogs and sheep and goats. And, you know, we've got obviously got show cattle there, too, but not the magnitude at Congress on the cattle side. But moving in a bunch of hogs is just as tough at OYE. So.
Yeah, I had some kids on here from Raiden FFA about – Right after I started the show, and they were talking about how they went and unloaded at OYE, and then they come back home. Then they got the call, and, hey, you got till noon to get out of here kind of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were telling that story, so it was pretty good. Well, those sales, I've heard numbers, and I know you know the numbers. Rattle off three or four of them, and they were just phenomenal.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it was a high seller. I know it was a high seller on a live lot over the weekend. But the Hereford sale, they grossed, just the Hereford sale alone grossed over $800,000. Wow. They sold one lot in that sale, a quarter interest on the bull for $190,000. And then they sold semen on him after that, and the total from all the semen sales was $100,000. So that one lot was $290,000. Oh. I mean, That's impressive stuff.
Yeah, that's basically a fourth or a fifth of that whole Hereford deal.
Yeah. And that, it really helped their sale. Helped their sale. But I think the Hereford folks were pleased, as well as the other breeds. The Angus folks, they had a great show, great sale as well. They had a couple different sales there on site. They had just their bulls in one sale, then a female sale, and then a combination sale. So, you know, some of those breeds, you know, they have two or three, four sales during the duration of Congress. So it's really, really neat just to see how people from all over the country. It's really the crossroads of cattle genetics of the world.
Right.
When you think about where the United States is compared to the rest of the world in cattle genetics, Cattlemen's Congress in 2 years became literally the crossroads of those genetics. When I talked a little bit, we ended the last segment talking about our international program. We had folks from Nicaragua, Argentina, Dubai, Canada. That was on grounds.
Really?
On grounds. Not to mention what today's technology allows for people buying embryos and semen from really all over the world. So it's really unique, and it's hard to put into words just how cool it is. But when you get there and see, you just walk through the barns. You know, we talked about the governor earlier. He was walking through the barns just thanking people for being there. And when you look to your right and see an Idaho sign, and then a Nebraska, and then North Dakota, and then Michigan, and Iowa, and Virginia, and Florida. I mean, it's just neat to see their farm signs hanging down the rows when you're walking through, and whether you're looking at Simmentals, Maines, Keys,
whatever.
Red Angus,
whatever
it might be, it's just really cool to see that.
Well, yeah, the governor, I know he was behind it, and when you see him, tell him we give him a big shout out, thank you to him. But you probably know this gentleman. I'm getting ready to mention his name, from the Taylor Ranch at Cheyenne. Jimmy Taylor. Anyway, I was giving him heck here last week. I said, how come he didn't go up there and buy any of those bulls? Well, I didn't know he did.
He was there.
He went up there. He said, but the first three, he said, I picked out three. The first one interest was $175,000. He said, so I come on to the house. So at least that proves to you Mr. Taylor knows his cattle.
He knows his cattle. He knew what he was looking at.
He was pretty good. He's quite the... He's quite the Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, I got to visit with him for a couple minutes up there, and I was really truly impressed by the number of people that just came out that would have never went up to Denver,
right?
Or never go to Fort Worth or anything like that, but because we're hosting it here in Oklahoma City, come out and walk through the bulls, walk through the pin show, and I talked a little bit about the pin show last time I was on your show, and, you know, that's something you don't see to every cattle show you go to.
No.
When ranches bring their three best bulls or their three best heifers or their five best or their eight best and show them against other ranchers' eight best or five best or whatever it is, and having a champion.
For bragging rights.
For bragging rights of the ranch. That's right. That's right. Well, and Express Ranches, you know, who's a big supporter, and Gerald Callahan, Bob Funk, great. You know, they were the pioneers in making this happen. Those guys, you know, they had a good show. They won the carload show in the Angus deal. It was cool to see.
Imagine
some success
that.
for the Oklahoma crowd.
Well, they have good cattle. I mean, they got some of the best. And speaking of those pin shows, was anybody from Yellowstone here to show some of theirs?
You know,
did you see Jimmy?
I don't know how far out their tentacles go, but I'm sure they'll be in it before too long.
Well, you should give old Costner a call next year and have him come down.
I'm sure. He was a big hit at the NFR, so I'm sure he'd be a big hit at Cattlemen's Congress. I'm sure a lot of people watching the show there.
Yeah, I know it's not their cattle on the show, but I was kind of paying attention when they were rounding up some heifers, and they're all red tagged. They all have red ear tags, and they look like purebred Angus.
Yeah.
So somebody knows somebody there. So, but
I bet there's some quality cattle where they're filming. I bet they can find some pretty close.
So you're already working on next year.
Yep.
And pretty probably going to be just basically the same game plan and just hope to add more cattle or keep it the way it is. I mean, it sounds like a huge success for the way it is.
Yeah, we're really busting the barns. I mean, that's the best way for me to put it.
Yeah.
We're full of cattle. Good problem to have. So we're working on some schedule adjustments to, you know, make the height of the show kind of more lengthy. You know, that second week, it kind of drops off as far as number of head that we have there. So we're going to try to spread some of that out a little
bit.
Spread
the love.
There's actually already a couple breeds that have already contacted us that want to come next year. One being some guys that came and displayed some bulls, some Speckled Parks. They displayed some bulls up there and trying to get their association to host a show. So it's ever moving. I mean, well, I had literally the day the show ended, I had a call from two breed associations wanting to come show at Congress next year.
Oh,
and
awesome.
Just because, you know, even though in the seed stock industry guys have their breeds and they kind of stick to their breeds, but when you give them a venue like we do in Oklahoma City to display and sell and show their cattle, you know, they can grow their breed, they can grow their you know, genetics can improve faster and all kinds of things. And so really what this does for the purebred cattle industry is unmatched.
Right.
It's unmatched.
Well, it is.
And I'm not just talking in the United States or North America, but really all over the world. You know, we've gained some interest from some other shows that happen across the world that want to come see what we're doing. It's really neat. Really neat.
Well, I know you keep mentioning this word, genetics. And my buddy up there at Cheyenne on the Taylor Ranch, Mr. Taylor himself, I know his wife doesn't want to hear this, but he's really brilliant in what he's doing. and so he's going to go around, hey, listen to Jimmy, what he tells you about your husband. So I know that's coming. But that's what he's been working so hard on is his genetics.
Yep.
And I got to go to the feedlot with him to look at some of his genetics and what it's doing. It's a big thing. If you don't care anything about anything, if you're going to keep up and make more on your bottom line on your cattle right now, you got to get your genetics improved.
Yep.
The old thing from 30 years ago, throwing some cows out in the pasture and some cake and feeding them hay and whatever bull breeds and bulls, them days are almost gone. And now if you're going to get top dollar for your cattle, you're going to have to play the game. And it doesn't change in one night.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't.
I don't know how hard Jimmy's been changing, working on his genetics, but I was fracking a well out there on the Taylor Ranch back in 2013, and he was calling cattle that I'd have gave my left arm for. So, you know, and I was like, you're going to do what? Nope, didn't have that baby in time. I was like, okay, I don't worry about that stuff, but I'm getting there.
Yeah.
So anyway, but shows like this, people get to go up there and even if they don't buy anything, they might make the contact to buy something on down the road.
Exactly. I mean, that's what a lot of the guys up there are doing. Even if they don't have something in one of the sales, they're advertising their production sales at their place. You know, and just like you've been doing a couple guys around here on, right. on your show here,
yep.
you know, that's what they're doing there. They're saying, hey, come out to our production sale. Here's what we'll have. Here's a few of them that might be in that sale that we're showing, but come out and see. And they've got something for everybody. I mean, that's what's unique about it. I mean, it's a marketing experience for right. them. It's not just come show, see if who's got the best. It's market yeah. what you've got and try to find a new buyer or, you know, a new long-term relationship or partner or something like that. So, you know, we talked a little bit about the international experience. The Red Angus sale, which was one of the very first sales we had, I think something around a third to half of the lots went to Mexico.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who would have thought that?
Who would have thought? It's crazy. But, yeah, we're already gearing up for next year, January 1st through the 14th, 2023. We've got some changes in mind, some things to make things run a little more efficient, and hopefully we've worked with the grounds on a few
adjustments
and it's going to be back and better. I'm excited about it, and meanwhile our staff's going to be getting ready for OYE.
So. Yeah, and I will be at OYE, so get ready. I'll run you down and say hi to you. Bray, thank you so much for coming in and coming in the studio and talking to that, because I hit on it a lot. I mean, I preached the Cattlemen's Congress you guys did a great job, and I'm excited. You got it's happening in Oklahoma.
You bet.
So anyway,
something to be proud of.
Yeah, it is. It's something to be proud of. It. Well, you have a safe trip home or back to the city.
You bet.
And are you going to Cheyenne while you're here?
I'm gonna grab lunch with Dad in town here, and then I'm headed back east. I'll go back in the office this afternoon and get some work done.
We're done. All right. Well, thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Bray Haven from the Cattlemen's Congress. At Oklahoma City the last 2 weeks, he was in the studio with me here today talking about it, and we'll be right back after this. I'll have your Long Ranger forecast and a few updates on the Meat Institute and our Cow-Calf Corner.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It's warmed up to 22 degrees, wind chills 11, winds out of the north-northeast at 12, gusting to 16. It's cold out there. 30 for a high. I don't see us making 30 today, but if we do, it is what it is. Tonight, low around 7. I'm pretty sure we're gonna have some wind chills below zero tonight, and tomorrow warms up a little bit, 39 degrees with hardly any winds, but it'll be out of the south if we have any. Tomorrow night, 17, not quite as cold. Saturday, 48 degrees and no wind and partly sunny. Saturday night, 23, Sunday, 58, warms right back up, and bang, Monday, 61 degrees, warms, we're right back in that deal. I think we got this cold front coming after cold front. I had to Lacey text me earlier this morning, and the new lady that they have as a meteorologist and a traffic reporter, Channel 9, did an article. Hannah did an article on how the drought affects farmers. And I got to be part of that interview this morning here at the radio station. So sometime tomorrow on Channel 9, you're going to see your favorite local ag guy on the radio, on the TV tomorrow. So hopefully I represented our state good and our part of the state good anyway. So it's all fun. So I can't wait to watch it either, because I know I can be goofy when I need to be, but I hope I was professional. But anyway, I didn't know this. She was actually, she's engaged to Drew, Raider, no, Dr. Raider's son. She's actually in out here. She's engaged to a guy out here. So it's small world when you get into the communication world. So, well, there's a, oh, I got a few texts in. No, Chad is not going to be on the news. But anyway, one of these guys texted in that lucky that cow that was had me down whooping me yesterday, Chad wasn't there. Like, what does that mean? I had his dad and his brother there. Chad had been running. He'd have been in the gate and the road headed towards his house. But anyway, no, anyway, so that's that. Okay, the Meat Institute. The Meat Institute disputes the White House and analysts on the Packer concentration. Rising retail meat prices coupled with historic Packer margins and softer cash prices for cattle and hogs created what the Biden administration has called a bad deal for consumers and farmers. The view is disputed by the North American Meat Institute, which says consumers saw increased meat prices in 2021 because of labor shortages, greater consumer demand, supply chain problems, and other factors experienced by most sectors of the economy. In early January, President Joe Biden unveiled an action plan to boost the competition for beef, pork, and poultry processing that includes $1 billion for grants and loans for new independent processing plants, $100 million for worker training, new labeling rules, and ways for farmers to report anti-competitive practices. In December, the White House published an analysis that the big four meat packers, Tyson, JBS, Morfrig Global, and Seaboard had tripled their net profit margins during the pandemic. Additionally, the administration and some producer groups have targeted meat industry concentration for livestock farmers receiving a smaller share of consumer dollars than for more than a decade now. On January 3rd, 2022, White House fact sheet claimed ranchers received 60 cents of every dollar a consumer spends on beef 50 years ago, compared to about 39 cents today. Hog farmers received 40 to 60 cents on each dollar spent 50 years ago, 19 cents today. In a statement released Wednesday, the Meat Institute said that admin's numbers are wrong, arguing that beef packers' share of consumer dollars are actually lower than the producer's share. Unfortunately for the White House, the USDA database referenced by the White House fact sheet updated December of 21, released by the USDA, shows in 2021 beef packers' share of the consumer dollar was 22.2%. lower than the producer's share. The Meat Institute statement said, for pork, the packer's average share of the consumer dollar was 18.9% in 2021. That's also lower than the producer's share, which was 25.8% in 2021. Inflation is hurting consumers by erasing the wage gains workers received due to the tight labor market and the pandemic. said Julia Potts, president and CEO of the North American Meat Institute. It's no wonder the Biden administration and some members of Congress would rather hold press conferences and hearings instead of addressing the labor shortage and supply chain bottlenecks. The Meat Institute submitted additional testimony for the hearing of the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Antitrust, Commercial, and Administrative Law called Reviving Competition. Part 5, Addressing the Effects of the Economic Concentration on the American Food Supply. The meat packing industry has been and continues to be one of the most highly scrutinized industries when it comes to the antitrust review, said Potts. In the testimony submitted, the USDA Agriculture Marketing Services Packers and Stockyard Division is uniquely charged by statute to provide an ongoing oversight for fair business practices and ensure competitive markets in the livestock, meat, and poultry industries. Additionally, any potential merger or acquisition regulators believe threatens too much market power is subject to be reviewed by the Justice Department or the Federal Trade Commission. She said that most of the rhetoric about concentration in the beef packing sectors wrongly implies the consolidation is going on and that packers' market power is becoming more and more concentrated. She said this is not the case. The four-firm packer concentration ratio for the fed cattle slaughter has not changed in more than 25 years. So there you have it. It was happening. So still nothing getting solved. So anyway, this deal here is just update before I leave the show here. Mexico's top science agency has cut its recommendation for maximum glyphosate imports by half this year, urging agriculture businesses to take steps to reach a government target of phasing out that herbicide completely by 2024. So they're doing away with it. But President Lopez issued an executive order in 2020 to phase out glyphosate and GMO corn by 2024, arguing Mexico must attain food self-sufficiency without using toxic chemicals, a move supported by environmental and food safety activists. However, Mexico's top farm lobby, CNA, has opposed the plan, arguing that neither glyphosate nor GMO corn are harmful to health and that reducing their use could affect farm production in Mexico. And it's a product that, when used properly, there's the key word, when used properly and respecting existing regulation, does not cause damage to health or the environment, according to the CNN. And it was referring to the herbicide. So anyway, hope you guys enjoyed today. I'm going to go check the heifers. And I promise you, if I got to pull one, I'm going to have to call for help because I can't put any weight on this leg over here. But we're going to get it done. We always do. Farmers and ranchers survive. So, and I know people out there probably around Arnett right now are on horseback checking cattle right now. And God bless them people. So anyway, you guys all have a good day. You've been listening to Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. God bless.